clears it all the way down. It's going to hit the empty net. Aiden Fink with an empty net goal with 45 seconds left. That was just crawling to the Badgers' cage and eventually crossed Pitt State with a 2-0 lead.
That's the icing on the cake for the Penn State Nittany Lions. You can guarantee yourself that. And it was a good rugby scrum down in the far corner. You remember when the Badgers played Michigan and we were down in that far corner and they ended up eating 10, 12, 14 seconds left on the clock.
Aiden Fink gets the empty net goal at 19:15. That's his 20th goal of the season. And Penn State with a 2-0 lead. Lead feed, the Badgers hustling after it. Pietola trying to reach. Rimmed around to the near side. Scholes able to hold for a second. Now it's flipped back towards the Penn State net, taken there by Crespo. Outlet to Weebush, and they'll just rag the puck in their own zone. 15 seconds to go. Well, the Badgers were down 1 point to Michigan for fourth place in the Big Ten coming into tonight. That after getting swept last weekend at Minnesota. Well, the Badgers' losing streak is now at 3 games, and Wisconsin finds itself 4 points out of a home playoff spot as Penn State comes to the Kohl Center and blanks the Badgers 2-0.
Yeah, it's a game of frustration. I can very much appreciate what Coach Hastings is going through. I think, you know, we were both at practice. We had a good week of practice. They're relatively healthy again. And yet you get into a situation where hit one roadblock like that, a hot goaltender, and inability to score on the power play. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was Ryan Mosley getting ejected from the game, to be honest with you, because that just discombobulates everybody on all four cylinders.
Badgers shut out at home by Penn State here tonight by the final score of 2-0. Penn State snaps a 7-game losing streak against the Badgers dating back to a year ago. 2-0 Penn State, the winner. Hey, Badger fans, visit uwbadgers.com/Zamboni to register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a men's hockey game. One lucky winner gets 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Again, go to uwbadgers.com/Zamboni for all the information. 2-0 Penn State knocks off Wisconsin tonight. Our postgame show is next. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver's Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to wiagtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Badger Hockey has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Along with Ian Perrin, Brian Posick here at the Kohl Center. Over the last four games, Penn State starting goaltender Arseniy Sergeyev had given up 18 goals and had an .869 save percentage. But tonight, Sergeyev stopped all 26 shots he faced for his fourth shutout of the year. And the Badgers were shut out for the first time this season. Penn State prevails 2-0. Wisconsin now 1-5-1 in its last seven Big Ten games and falls to 6-12-1 in the league, 11-15-3 overall. Penn State improves to 13-11-3, 4-10-3 in league play. And with the 3 points here tonight, Penn State now with 17 points, still 7 points behind Wisconsin for fifth place, but two games in hand. The Badgers now drop 4 points behind Michigan for fourth place in the Big Ten. You know, it's, again, we've seen this at times this season. Badgers have having issues putting the puck in the back of the net. You credit Arseniy Sergeyev here tonight, but I know they're going to be lamenting their power play all night.
Yeah, they are. And you also get in a situation where the temperament of the game changed both ways. I mean, if you take a look at the shots on goal in the second period, the Badgers rip off 14 and hold Penn State to 6. Then you turn around in the third period and I hate to tell you, but the Badgers only got 3 official shots on net in the third period, if my numbers are correct. But the fact of the matter being is that 14 of them went to Penn State. So when you're trying to come from behind, you're down 1-0, and you can only generate 3 shots, none of them on your one power play.
Yeah.
That's when you get frustrated.
Well, I was thinking, too, even strength. I mean, was Penn State doing something that was preventing Wisconsin from getting pucks to the net?
It just seemed like every time that and my Wisconsin star, every time that we turned around, you got into a situation where at no point in time did you ever get a second shot.
Yeah.
First shots were from the perimeter. Second shots were non-existent. Even if you stick-handled in and tried to chip one towards the net, you were not going to get a rebound. You were not going to get anything else. There was not a lot of conscientious play or very good, solid effort in front of the net, even though there were several rebounds that were available.
And the Badgers shut out for the first time this season, falling to Penn State 2-0. Let's name our three stars of the game, brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Start with Everlight Solar.
Well, interestingly enough, my number one star goes to the goaltender.
Sure.
I mean, he was very, very good in the sense that Sergeyev,
yep,
is has been battling, just like our goaltender has been battling. But for him to come out here and face 26 shots or 25 shots and not give up anything, he made the big save when he had to. And that was the key to their success, I think, tonight. So the number one star goes to Sergeyev. Number two star goes to Tyson Dick. Not only did Tyson have a good game, but he was also the shot leader with 4 shots on net. And for whatever reason, he got the initial shot but could never score on the rebound.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he tried to tuck it in down low beside the goaltender's pad, or on the one time he was on his backhand, couldn't elevate it. Next time he's on his knees and he couldn't elevate it. He had more pure scoring opportunities as a forward for Wisconsin than any of the other players did, thus the number two star of the game. Number three star of the game, Aiden Fink. Of
Penn State. Yeah.
Penn State, number 18, one goal and one assist, despite the fact that the goal was what I would consider a lucky goal, as he just tried to throw it down the ice, and it was an empty net goal. But his assist on the first goal was why he's one of the top scorers in the Big Ten.
Yep, Fink almost scored, and then Laubach picked it up and scored, and then Fink gets the empty net goal. So those are the three stars of the game, brought to you by Everlight Solar. Badgers fall to Penn State 2-0. Energizing performance next. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. And ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Hey, Badger fans, it's Mott's Matt for Brewpub, Lotsa Mott's Pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brewpub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brewpub Lotsa Mott's Pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brewpub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober.
Or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Here at the Kohl Center, where Penn State prevails by the final score of 2-0. The Nittany Lions 6-2-3 in their last 11 games. The Badgers now 1-5-1 in their last 7 Big Ten contests and drop 4 games under 500 this season. Let's get to our energizing performance brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond for you.
Well, I think it was kind of a team situation. I think when my energizing performance, the thing that changed the energy of the team is when Rylan Mosley took a 5-minute major for contact to the head and a game misconduct about 8 minutes in, I guess, whatever. Yeah. Badgers did an amazing job of killing it, and it just seemed like it uplifted everything. Sure. And they turned around and really did a really good job defensively, not so much offensively, but did such a good job defensively. And to be honest with you, there were 2 or 3 good scoring opportunities during that 5-minute major. And give credit to Horbach, Lindmark, Morrissey. Those guys I don't know if they just worked harder or thought harder or what they did, but fact of the matter being is that during that five-minute major, the Badgers were the more dominant team than Penn State was, and I think that carried over into the second period, and things went a little bit better for them.
Yeah, Wisconsin, by the way, allowed only one shot on goal during that five-minute penalty kill after Ryland Mosley was ejected for head contact. Wisconsin falls 2-0. Again, our energizing performance of the game brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond for you. We go downstairs. I believe head coach Mike Hastings is standing by. And, Mike, I know that was a tough one to take. And, really, the game kind of turned in the opening 7.5 minutes or so. You lose your top right wing, Ryland Mosley, to a five-minute major. Your penalty kill came through. There was energy in the building. You almost put one in. I guess, unfortunately, just couldn't get the offense going in the third period to try to get even and maybe pull one out here.
No, that one's a dud. That one hard to figure out. We've got a little adjustment that you do have adversity kick you in the teeth when Mose goes out. Thought the guy stood up. The penalty kill did. I thought after the first one, Scarfey really settled in. I know he probably wanted that first one back. But we've got to take a zero off the board. That's two straight games where, you know, we've got to find a way to make a play, find a way to get a little bit harder in front of the net or a lot harder in front of the net if we're going to find a way to get pucks by guys at this level.
Yeah, trying to do too many things individually as opposed to a team, Mike, what would you say was the kind of the disorientation of your offense here tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I just thought when we did get to the net, we wouldn't deliver it. And when we did deliver it, there wasn't anybody at the hole. I thought we also had some opportunities to take pucks off walls and make some hockey plays on our entries. And to me, that's playing offense. We've got to have a little bit of swagger to us. And if you're not going to have swagger, we got to have a little crustiness to us to get pucks and get second and thirds. And I just thought they went into the guts of the ice, defended, especially in the third period, and we didn't get through.
Yeah, surprised by that, too. I mean, your team has had the resilience and gone to work each and every week. But for some reason, there's that little confidence piece that's missing right now, right?
Yeah, and you've got to go out and find that. And you know what? It goes from top to bottom, and we've got to find a way to whether somebody like Mosley goes out of the lineup or doesn't. And you saw in the third period, we hadn't scored, so we shuffled the deck, and I thought that would make a little bit of a difference. But right now we've got to look in the mirror and own what we did not do, and we can't feel sorry for ourselves because they're going to be coming tomorrow.
Coach, when Tyson Dick went at the net, what, 3-4 times, he was right in front, and I was going to go down and buy him a scoop shovel.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get it up. He couldn't get it down. He kept hitting the post. He kept hitting the pad. He played a whale of a game tonight.
You know what? He's starting to put some back-to-backs together. And Tyson, if you notice, we moved him all over the rink because right. I was trying to get him his minutes over the third period. And He's starting to play a bit better for us offensively, and now we just need to get some people to support him.
All right, Mike, thanks for your time. See
thanks,
you
guys.
Sure. Head coach Mike Hastings obviously disappointed after a 2-0 loss to Penn State here tonight. More to come in our postgame show. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
If you've thought about contributing to a Roth IRA, but you made too much money during your working years, you can have a second chance through a Roth conversion. As you may know, a Roth IRA provides tax-free withdrawals, provided you've had the account at least 5 years and you're at least 59 and a half. A Roth's income limits may have kept you from contributing. However, you can convert your traditional IRA to a Roth. It's not hard to do, but there's a catch. You'll have to pay taxes on the pre-tax dollars you convert. See your tax advisor before making a conversion. If it's appropriate for your situation, you may find that owning a Roth IRA can benefit you and your family for years. This is Clay Kanoke with Edward Jones in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-421-0958.
Badgers fall here tonight to Penn State, 2-0. We'll go through the final stats here in just a bit. Let's check some scores from around the country. First, I want to let you know the top-ranked Wisconsin women's hockey team hosts third-ranked Minnesota tomorrow at 2 and Sunday at noon. If Mark Johnson's club gets a win, whether it be in regulation, overtime, or a shootout, Badgers need 2 points to clinch the WCHA regular season title outright. It would be the 10th regular season championship for Mark Johnson's program. So, again, the Wisconsin women at LeBron tomorrow at 2, Sunday at noon against Minnesota. Non-conference men's college hockey tonight. Long Island beat Lindenwood 3-2. Did you watch any of the Beanpot semis on Monday? Two blowouts. Oof.
Yeah, I just saw highlights. I didn't see anything of any particular length.
BU beat Harvard 7-1, BC over Northeastern 8-2, so the Terriers and the Eagles meet for the Beanpot Championship on Monday. That's going to be on the NHL Network. That's kind
no
of cool.
Surprise.
Yeah. Hockey East tonight, Boston College opened up a 6-point lead on second place BU. The Eagles doubled New Hampshire 4-2. Boston University lost in overtime to Merrimack 2-1. UMass beat UConn 5-4. Maine and Providence a 3-3 overtime tie. Vermont knocked off Lowell 5-3. Boy, you look at the national rankings and you see BC number one, you see Maine fifth, Providence seventh, Boston University eighth, Lowell is 10th. I mean, it's, you know, and then you wanted to look at Lowell's also in the pairwise. New Hampshire's 15th in the pairwise. I mean, that's a tough league, Hockey East.
Yeah, it is. It's top to bottom. I mean, it's not that there's any weak sisters whatsoever. Can I throw in a little comment about the UMass Lowell?
Yeah.
My nephew is an alumni from there, and they had their alumni game today.
Yeah.
And so he took his 8-year-old son on his birthday and got him to skate in the alumni game.
Nice.
So Thomas Onofrejczyk, happy 8th birthday.
Good for him. That's awesome. ECAC tonight, Quinnipiac over St. Lawrence 6-1. Colgate and Union a 2-2 overtime tie. Quinnipiac now with a 3-point lead on Colgate for the regular season lead. Cornell doubled RPI 4-2. Dartmouth over Harvard 3-2. Clarkson beat Princeton 4-1. NCHC tonight. Do you got an update on the Arizona State Denver game by chance?
It was 3-2 Denver.
All right.
Late, but not. I can't honestly. Yeah, 3-2 Denver halfway through the second period.
Gotcha. Cruz Lucius, the former Badger, scored his first goal as a Sun Devil today. He missed the first half plus of the season following elbow surgery. Former Badger Cameron Rowe, 24 saves. Western Michigan shut out St. Cloud State 4-0. Former Badger Zach Erdahl scored. Omaha leads Duluth now 4-1 with about a half minute to play in Omaha. Actually, Erdahl just scored another one. So it was he got an even strength goal to give him a 2-1 lead, and then he gets the empty netter as well. So Erdahl, two goals for UNO tonight. And what do you have for North Dakota and Colorado College?
I have in the third period with 7 minutes remaining, Colorado College 4, North Dakota 2.
Wow, they must have scored two quick ones. It was 2-2 a little while ago. CCHA, Minnesota State, has a 3-1 lead on Augustana. That is in the third period of play. We'll see if we can get a final on that one. The Mavericks currently lead the CCHA, actually 4-1 the final score. So Mankato wins over Augustana. Bowling Green in second place, a 4-1 win over St. Thomas. So the Mavericks still lead Bowling Green by 4 points in the CCHA. Lake Superior State edged Northern Michigan 3-2. And the surprise in the CCHA, How about those Beavers? 5-3 winners at Michigan Tech. Bemidji State's getting a job done on the road.
Yeah, and it, first half of the season, I look at Bemidji State. They win one, they lose three, they win another one, they lose two, da-da-da-da-da. But to walk into Michigan Tech and beat them 5-3 on their home ice is, a big accomplishment.
Atlantic Hockey, league-leading Sacred Heart, a 2-2 overtime tie with Army. Air Force beat Canisius 5-3. American International shut out Mercyhurst 5-0. Bentley, a 1-0 win over Robert Morris. Holy Cross had its way with RIT 9-2, the final. And in the Big Ten, Minnesota idle this weekend. Ohio State beat Notre Dame in South Bend 5-1. Ryan Gordon, 2 goals for the Buckeyes. Logan Turnus, 27 saves. And Michigan, a big win at Michigan State, 2-1. Garrett Shifsky, the game-winning goal with 56 seconds left. Cameron Corpy, 38 saves for the Wolverines, who are in fourth place in the Big Ten. They've opened up a 4-point lead on fifth place Wisconsin, 3 points behind Ohio State. Michigan State leads the league with 40 points. Minnesota has 38. So those two teams duking it out for the regular season title. So actually Michigan did Minnesota a favor tonight, while Michigan did not do Wisconsin a favor.
Correct.
Tonight. Yeah. So that's where we stand heading into tomorrow night's series finale. Back in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Basketball fans, Mott's Matt for Brewpub Lots of Mott's Pizza here. As much as our Badgers are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub Pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub Pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over 0.5 pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub Pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger Basketball and Brewpub Pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health. Remarkable.
Well, the Wisconsin Badgers return to the Kohl Center after getting swept at Minnesota last weekend, 5-2 and 4-1. Just the second and third regulation losses for the Badgers over the last 20 games or so. Here tonight, taking on a Penn State team that Wisconsin took 5 of 6 points from in state college back in November. But tonight, for whatever reason, there was like a fence around the Penn State
scoring
net.
Drought.
Yes, yeah. And 1 goal, 3 minutes in, really was all that mattered. The Badgers got an early power play tonight after Penn State was whistled for a 2-minute minor, 38 seconds in against Aiden Fink. The Badgers unable to convert on their power play, and once that expired about 30 seconds later, a defensive zone turnover by the Badgers put the puck on the stick of Aiden Fink. His shot from the slot went between the pads of Tommy Scarfone. Scarfone closed the door and got a piece of the puck, but it squirted between his pads, and Reese Laubach went to the blue paint and tapped it in, and it was 1-0, 3:10 in.
Yeah, and it was... Again, not, it's call it a cheap goal, call it a easy goal, whatever you want to call it, but all the hard work that was done previously by Penn State to get that puck to the net, and then to have it a defenseman draped all over you as you're just knock it into the empty net. Yeah.
Yeah, 1-0 Penn State at that point. And then the game turned even more when the Badgers' second leading scorer, Ryland Mosley, was ejected for a 5-minute major for head contact. The Badgers, though, killed off that 5-minute major power play, and the crowd came to life. It seemed to give the Badgers some energy offensively. They were unable to convert even strength, and then got a 5-minute power play of their own when Braden Ford took a 5-minute major for head contact at the 16-minute mark. But again, the Badgers unable to score in the 4 minutes at the end of the first period and the additional minute to start the second. So Wisconsin was 0 for 2 on the power play, down 1-0 in the second, got another power play, failed to convert. So 0 for 3, still down 1-0. Penn State got a power play late in the second period. The Badgers killed that off, still 1-0 after two periods of play. And then the Badgers, actually, Quinn Finley took a penalty. Penn State got its third power play. Badgers killed it off. Wisconsin got another power play halfway through the third. Penn State killed it off. Joe Palatichuk took a late penalty. Penn State back on the power play. The Badgers killed it off. The two teams tonight both 0 for 4 on the power play. Both had 11 minutes of power play hockey. Penn State had 5 shots on goal in 11 minutes of power play hockey. The Badgers had only 6. But it was still 1-0. Laubach's goal early in the first was holding up. Badgers emptied their net for an extra attacker. Took a timeout with about 2 minutes left to set up an offensive zone faceoff. Had a couple of looks, but eventually Aiden Fink picked up a loose puck in the Badgers zone and sent it the length of the ice for an empty net goal, his 20th goal of the season, unassisted at 19:15. And that was all the scoring here tonight. Both teams, 5 penalties for 21 minutes. Both teams 0 for 4 on the power play. Wisconsin won 22 of 42 faceoffs. Gavin Morrissey, 12 of 20 in the faceoff circle. Wisconsin with 17, Penn State with 17 block shots tonight. 5 by Cade Christensen, the freshman defenseman. The Badgers had 14 block shots, 3 apiece for Anthony Kerr and for Ben Dexheimer. Arseniy Sergeyev, the starting goaltender, the transfer from UConn, he gets his 4th shutout of the season. He stopped 25 shots, only had to face 3 shots on goal in the third period. And that's what I guess is most surprising to me. Yeah, Penn State had 4 minutes of power play hockey, but only 3 shots on goal in the third period for Wisconsin.
But again, just refer back to 2 weeks ago when we were playing Michigan, third period. The Badgers could do no wrong. Yeah. You know, 2 goals come from behind, and then to tie it up in the third period on Saturday night, and then it was very anemic effort here in the third period. Not a lot of get up and go.
Yeah, Sergeyev, again, 25 saves. He gets the win. He's 10-7-3. Aiden Fink, a goal, 2 points, 4 shots on goal, plus 2. His linemate, Reese Laubach, gets the game-winning goal, 4 shots on goal, plus 2. Nittany Lions now 13-11-3, 4-10-3 in the Big Ten. 4 shots on goal apiece for Tyson Dick and Quinn Finley, but the Badgers shut out for the first time this season. Tommy Scarfone, 24 saves, but he takes the loss. His record now 9-11-3. The Badgers are 11-15-3, 6-12-1 in league play. It took 2 hours and 3 minutes to play a game in front of 10,071 fans. Penn State shuts out Wisconsin by the final score of 2-0. All right, to get to 500 or to get over 500 before the playoffs, the Badgers will have to run off 5 straight. But right now it's just playing better, you know. And if you win, great, but you got to play better than they did here in the – certainly in the second and third periods tonight.
As I used to say, don't look to the future, look to the next game.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
All right, that's what they've got to do. So my thanks to Adam Morrison, our producer, Ian Perrin, my partner, and to all of you listening around the state of Wisconsin or on your Varsity Network app. I'm Brian Posick saying so long, everybody. Again, the final score here from the Kohl Center in Madison, Penn State 2, Wisconsin nothing. Again, thanks for listening to Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right?
but there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio. Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian.
Democrats in Ohio have made a convincing case that the bill would require basically both sidesing the Holocaust, that students are allowed to come to their own opinions about things. And so that's just two examples of ways in which the law is troubling.
Right, but David, that's intellectual diversity.
Right.
they're in favor of diversity when it favors, you know, them.
Yeah, it's a strange form of intellectual diversity because what it doesn't seem to accept is that there are things that are factually correct and factually inaccurate.
Yeah, but those are your facts, David. Those are your facts. I've got my own. You've got yours. You shouldn't be correcting me. I mean, you are the teacher and all.
Yeah, and on that whole alternative facts thing, one of the conversations or issues that we have raised is supporters of the legislation will say, well, you know, the law would say that students have the right to raise controversial topics in the classroom, and that what the faculty members should do is to challenge those controversial ideas in the classroom. And I say, well, we're perfectly fine with that. That makes sense. But then the question becomes, what happens after that? Because if this law is in place and it says that students have to have the right to come to their own conclusions, and I mark a student down for coming to a conclusion that is demonstrably factually inaccurate, a student or, more troublingly, an organized interest behind a student could use this law to put a professor on complaint with the university, which would initiate conceivably something involving a discipline process. And then, of course, the faculty union would be involved.
So I got to ask the most glaring question to me, which is, how did the education system get turned on its head like this? You know, because, look, I don't think I'm that old. But it's been a while since I've been in a college classroom, and I remember, you know, bringing up controversial topics. I remember, because I was kind of a class clown, I remember making up nonsense to see what kind of a rise I would get out of the professor, and he usually dressed me down, and then the rest of the class usually ganged up on me and kind of brought me back into the middle of this. from what I understand, that's not how it's done anymore. Someone comes in with one of these crazy theories, we've got to now take it seriously. And if anyone, you know, infringes on their beliefs, it's everybody else's fault, not theirs for being, as you said, demonstrably wrong. How did we get here? That's my question. I get all these Senate bills. I get Republicans trying to defund and destroy and privatize. I get that. But how do we get to this place?
I think that there has been a concerted effort by one political party in the United States to criticize and demonize higher education, to scapegoat higher education for their perceptions about what's wrong in our society. And it's a really unfortunate thing that's happened, because we know that higher education is a major tool for social mobility. Here at BGSU, one of the groups of underrepresented students that we have a large number of are students who are first time in their family attending college. That group of students experiences a form of social mobility and life improvement from their experiences here that's unbelievable. It's incredible to be part of that process, making that happen. And so the last thing we're thinking about is trying to turn those students into anything in terms of ideology and partisanship, except for critical consumers of media, critical consumers of information, critical thinkers. So there's this disconnect that we feel in our daily jobs, where every single minute that we're here, we stress student success. We stress recruitment of students, retention of the students, graduation of students, and the launching of successful lives as citizens and employees. And to have a political party so convinced that what we're doing is wrong and destructive is demoralizing, to say the least.
Yeah, but there you go with your elite talk again. You and your critical thinking and your education. You smart people think you know everything.
You know, I was having a conversation online with somebody I don't even know, and of course that's what we do on social media a lot. And the person said, "Oh, you know, look at all these PhD professors who are against, you know, this bill. You guys don't live in the real world." And very politely, I wrote back to the person and said, "You know, we live in the same world as you live in." And the person wrote back and was like, "Yeah, but I talked to repairmen and you guys are rude and condescending to them." And I was like, "Look, man, everybody has a different set of skills. And, you know, my dad was a millwright and my dad could change the oil in my car. I can't. So I pay a professional to do it."
Certainly.
And what we need is a return back to an acknowledgement on both sides, or all sides, or all groups of, you know, the different things that we bring to the table. I mean, I can do a few things around the house, but I really can't deal with electricity. I grew up around electricians, and even my dad, the millwright, thought electricians were like special and
like
different.
Like voodoo, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I need an electrician. I'm not going to mess around with that. And right. It's like, let's get back to that and talk to each other about
that's that
who
critical
we are and what
thinking.
We can do.
That's that critical thinking there, that you going, "I don't know enough about it. I touch this and I touch that. It could be the end." That's that intellectual elitism right there playing itself out. No, but you know, the reason I bring this up is that's kind of been the knock against college professors and against the college educated. Whereas I've got a degree. I don't use it. Maybe I do, but I look at education as something to help you solve problems in the future, help you to visualize and understand things a little bit differently, to be able to filter things better, maybe to not fall for every conspiracy theory and knee-jerk reaction that comes down the pike. So this is why I think, and this is my fear, and you can help me if I'm wrong here, my fear is this has become a red hat, blue hat issue, talking about education, based on more educated people seem to vote for Democrats, less educated people seem to vote for Republicans. I don't know why that is per se, but that just seems to see how it bleeds out. And this, again, seems like it's just a political hit job to go after people that we don't like who wear a different hat, instead of what's in the best interest of society and ultimately the state of Ohio.
Well, I mean, I run the risk of sounding partisan or ideological here, but during the press conference where the sponsor of SB1 spoke, the senator mentioned that Ohio is number 13 in the country in student debt default. And I say, boy, that's a real problem. That's something that should be done. There is nothing in this bill that would fix that.
Right.
And I would argue that if your party isn't offering solutions to problems, one tactic to take instead is to demonize some people, to divide people, and distract people from what we all have in common, like the person I was, you know, communicating with on Facebook, you know, recently. And I don't think it does us any benefit to be, you know, in that position. And
I agree.
I try not to see everything through partisan and ideological lines, but it doesn't take too many steps in the critical thinking process to say that if a party's not offering solutions, it has to offer up scapegoats.
It's offering problems. No, if you're not part of the solution, you're the problem. And this is this. So as I understand this bill, and I want to get back to what it does and what it doesn't do, because from what I understand, it effectively ends tenure, which means we're gonna end up with an education system in Ohio where you're gonna have basically adjuncts running everything. Not that that's not how it is close to now, but ultimately you're gonna have at will part time people teaching the next generation. And that's not great. It gives the administration the ability to shut down programs, from what I understand. I guess it mechanizes kind of what you do in the classroom, kind of turning you into factory workers. And also, it's got more than 100 unfunded mandates that, to your point about the you know, the student debt, seems to raise that cost of tuition that students might have to incur as well. It seems like a lot of bad here.
Yeah, so for example, on the ability to close programs, it has some arbitrary threshold number of degrees offered over a certain number of years. And if a program doesn't reach that number of degrees, then that program should be eliminated. Well, that doesn't make any sense because there's lots of places, lots of departments that don't offer many degrees, but offer tons and tons and tons of classes that students take for general education requirements. So you could stop offering the degree and you wouldn't save any money because you would still need to offer those courses anyway. So that's another piece of the bill that's indicative of a lot of what's wrong with the bill, which is that stakeholders in public higher education in Ohio, and this only applies to the public higher education in Ohio, that we haven't been consulted and taken seriously in terms of making a contribution to it. In terms of the tenure question, yeah, it effectively destroys tenure because what it does is say that any administrator can, if they can document it in any way, show what they perceive to be poor performance by a tenured faculty member, they can be put through a post-tenure review process that very quickly can result in the termination and detenuring of that faculty member. And I just want to mention the concept of tenure here. Tenure does not mean a job for life. Tenure is an expectation of reemployment and a due process system if an administrator believes that a tenured faculty member is not performing and needs to be replaced. So the purpose of tenure, as it was created when the American Association of University Professors was created back in 1915, I believe, was to protect academic freedom. Because people at universities back then and sometimes today were being fired because they were critical of companies owned by members of boards of trustees. And so the purpose of tenure is the protection of academic freedom. And here at Bowling Green, we have multiple classes of faculty. So there's tenured faculty, and then there's full-time non-tenure eligible faculty. And those faculty have full-time jobs and full-time salaries and benefits, but they're not protected by tenure.
Right.
And that's 35% to 40%. And then there's an even less protected group that you mentioned earlier called adjuncts, which is to say part-time faculty members who are taught on a per-course basis with no benefits and no protections whatsoever. And so we need to do a better job within our profession of explaining to the public why tenure is important, explaining to the public why it's not a job for life, and explaining to the public, especially this fact, that higher education in the U.S. takes place at places like Bowling Green State University, community colleges. Every time there's some expose of higher education, it's about something going on at Harvard or something going on at the University of Michigan, which are great places and important places and maybe set trends and things like that. But the vast majority of students, even in the state of Michigan, are not being educated at the University of Michigan. They are being educated at Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Wayne State University, Michigan State University, community colleges. Same thing here in Ohio. We love Ohio State, but they're not the majority. what we need for the public to recognize that the work that we do is not done through an ideological or partisan lens. We are helping young people develop the skills they need to experience beneficial and successful lives that include social mobility.
There you go. Last question I've got for you, because, you know, I look at this and obviously we're in a moment. We've got a guy in the White House who seems fixated on DEI. Isn't this bill really about just ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at the university level? Isn't that really the aim? Isn't that the blinder? Isn't that what they're selling?
Yeah, I mean, it bans diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. It doesn't do a particularly clear job at all of defining what those mean. And so a colleague of mine wrote a pretty interesting analysis that said, could scholarships that are offered to first-generation college students be allowed under this? That would really affect our university, since that's singling out a group of students for a benefit. It turns out we have a scholarship here for, I think, as he pointed out, it's a Christopher Columbus scholarship, essentially, for Italian-American students. Could those things be offered? So DEI is, you know, this set of capital.
It's the boogeyman.
Yeah, that's exactly the word. I was going to say a lot more words to make that point.
No, please do. Please educate me, because boogeyman is the only one my truck driver mind could think of. Please.
It becomes all things to all people who want something bad. So anything I don't like is DEI. Yeah. And, you know, at BGSU and lots of other places where the vast majority of people are educated in Ohio, what DEI is inclusion, is student success. It's finding students, taking students where they are in life and providing them the means to get through a college education and become successful.
Well, let's hope this gets shot down. Let's hope that the folks of Ohio wake up, and everyone around the country who has a Republican legislator, maybe wait for this bill. Because I know in Pennsylvania, the professors in this state have been fighting a lot of these same battles. So this isn't just isolated to my home state of Ohio. But David, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts on this. And as this horrible thing moves along, I'd love to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
David Jackson, president of the Bowling Green State University Faculty Association. I want to hear your thoughts. Good idea? Should we just destroy higher education altogether? Who needs it? Who needs it? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2008. That evening at 7:15 p.m., an explosion rocked the city of Wentworth, just outside Savannah, Georgia. An explosion had gone off at Imperial Sugar. Highly combustible sugar dust had ignited. 8 people died at the scene, while later, 6 more workers succumbed to their injuries at a regional burn center. The explosion left dozens more injured. The sugar refinery and packaging plant had operated since 1917. It was one of the largest refineries in the United States. The company had been warned for decades about the dangers of sugar dust. Yet the dust collection system was undersized and in disrepair. The building materials at the plant were outdated and added fuel to the fire. Worse, as many as 40 workers were not trained on how to evacuate in an emergency. Once the fire started, it burned quickly. The inferno reached temperatures of 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The Chemical Safety Board investigated the accident. Their conclusion was that it was entirely preventable and the deaths and injuries should not have happened. OSHA introduced a bill to regulate the dangers of combustible dust. But the Combustible Dust Explosion and Fire Prevention Act of 2008 did not make it through Congress. The company settled a series of civil lawsuits and paid a $6 million fine for the safety violations at Wentworth and another one of its plants. But they admitted no wrongdoing in the disaster. By November 2009, Imperial had rebuilt at the site. The disaster at Imperial was not an isolated incident. In the 3 decades leading up to that accident, 300 dust explosions killed more than 120 workers at sugar plants, food processing plants, and grain silos across the nation.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Let's get ready to bumble! That's right. We're going to bumble. We're going to bumble. And I can't wait to see the hearing with Linda McMahon. Set for confirmation hearing coming. And we all know what we're going to hear. How much she cares about children. Cares about education. How much she's gonna fight for children. And yet, the right-wing echo chamber, I keep hearing in their voice that their panties are all in a tingle. The prospect of her destroying and dismantling public education and the very agency that she will head, the Department of Education, makes them very, very happy. We're going to hear a lot about school choice, a lot of choice. We love choice, you know, between bad choice and worse choice, or just worse choice, which is what we keep getting. And I don't know that we'll hear a lot about charters. I'm not sure. I think the charter craze is losing its luster because it's really not working the way they want it. Yeah, they're making a lot of money, but vouchers, all the craze. Because vouchers, that's a direct cash payment right to the rich people who are already sending their little darlings to private schools. And how are we going to pay for all that? Well, we're going to take from poor kids, of course, because we're pushing choice. We love choice. We love the idea of choice, or so we're told. And again, I come back to that choice between, you know, a bad one and a worse one. Those are your choices, sadly, because we've defunded a lot of public education. We've beat up and demonized teachers to the point where a lot of them are leaving the profession. It makes you wonder if the folks who are sitting on high, the Linda McMahons of the world, the Donald Trumps, the Elon Musks, they really care about education. There's part of me that, and this is where the struggle is. There's part of me that looks at what they're doing as they don't see a future for the country as a whole because they've got AI. They don't need us as workers anymore. So they just need to dumb us down to the point where we're easily controlled. That seems to be the playbook here. As long as we don't know how bad we're getting screwed over, we won't rise up. You know, throw a little bread and circus out there. Some Cheetos and American Idol or whatever. And the more I look at this, the more I don't see their end game. We're going to return it to the states where we can get states competing on who does the worst job of educating their populace. Yeah. Or am I missing something here? Because they haven't come out with anything yet in all of this chaos that they've thrown out that actually benefits working people. Now, remember, they've told us they're the party of working people. In fact, they've told us over and over and over again how much they care, how concerned they are for the price of eggs, you know, price of gas. There was supposed to be, you know, a dozen eggs in every refrigerator and a gallon of gas in every tank. There was supposed to be all of that. And what are we getting? We're getting something, all right. And what's frustrating is the collective outrage that's going on, I still think is pointed at the wrong stuff. We're following Trump instead of figuring out how to build the movement we're going to need to reclaim this country once they're done destroying it. Once the pain and the suffering happens, once the crisis occurs. I see people saying we're in the middle of a constitutional crisis right now. And yeah, I think we are. And if you look at what they're doing so far, what they've gotten away with so far, you got to wonder, will there be another election? And will we have to join our trifold hat, folks, in defending this nation from the oligarchs who now control it? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, I want to hear it. Download your podcast, freespeech.org. That's where you can see the video. And I want to hear from you, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Thanks for being here. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump says he's revoking former President Biden's security clearance and ending the daily intelligence briefings. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi says the briefings are often offered as a courtesy.
Former presidents that are receiving it, are former President Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama. So it's not unusual for a former president to receive those briefings, but it kind of continues a tit-for-tat started by President Biden back in 2021, where he said that President Trump could not receive any of these daily intelligence briefings.
The Justice Department agrees not to publicly reveal the names of FBI agents who worked on January 6th cases. CBS's Erica Brown on what President Trump has to say about agents.
Some FBI agents say they're worried they'll be fired for doing their job.
I'll fire some of them because some of them were corrupt. I have no doubt about that. We had some corrupt agents, and those people...